This interview with Paul Donahue, entitled Persuasion, was recorded on 10 March 2011.
This is Julia Van Deren, the Career Services Representative at CFA Institute, and I'm speaking today with Paul Donahue. This podcast is part of the CFA Institute Career Services Library. Paul is a sales and communications coach. He is the president of Paul Charles & Associates, a consulting firm based in the United States. Paul joins me today to chat a little bit about persuasion. For the past several years, Paul has worked closely with the Anatomy of Persuasion program and has presented elements of that program at the CFA Institute and member society career events. Well, I'm just going to jump right in with a few questions for you here. And the first one is maybe a simple one, but what makes persuasion different from other communication efforts?
Well, that is a good question, I think, Julia. So I think first we would clarify and say that persuasion is a process for getting other people to accept your ideas or your proposals or to agree with a particular point. So that said, there are not too many ways, really, to get other people to do what you want. I mean, you can command, and that only works if you're the boss or maybe in the military, but I think studies show that the command approach tends to bring about maybe reluctant compliance at best. Many people instead would engage in negotiation. And I don't know, there are those that think win-win negotiation might be more of a myth, and that in most situations involving negotiation, people have to give in order to get. So that leaves us with persuasion. And this is a much more powerful approach and a much more enjoyable approach because, unlike the other two, it is based on the needs and the interests of all the parties. And it's a terrific tool to master for a person who has career aspirations because it enables us to maybe influence people over whom we don't have authority. And for those that maybe we do have authority over, persuasion is a much nicer way to bring about compliance. So we found it to be a very, very worthwhile tool in all aspects of life.
Thank you. Now, I've had the opportunity to hear you speak in the past, and one of the things I've heard you say is that good communication rarely just happens. So I want to ask you, what are some of the things that professionals can do to make sure that it does happen?
The first thing, I think, is to shift perspective. Most of us have a tendency to think about communication in terms of speaking. And really, the critical skills would be planning, probing, and listening. And once that shift in perspective is made, it becomes clear that it's the preparation that generates the good communication. And we think that if people can prepare in a more strategic fashion, what happens is they put more emphasis on some of the questions they'll ask rather than on the things that they will say. They also put more emphasis on the audience than maybe they would do under normal circumstances. And I think finally, what we say in the Anatomy of Persuasion program, for example, is that the best communicators take 100% of the responsibility for the creation and delivery of the message. So that if for whatever reason a message isn't getting across well, the speaker is the one that needs to take that responsibility, change the message, modify it, or repeat it in a slightly different way.
Great, thank you. I know in the past few years, people have probably come to hear the acronym WIFM, or What's in It for Me, tossed around a lot more. And I think, you know, I get the impression that people begin to understand that that perspective, answering that question, what's in it for you, can be important to the act of persuading. But to really be successful, what do you think goes into communicating the what's in it for you message?
Well, I think it's important for people to clarify the difference between the two acronyms, WIFM and WIFIT, just to be technical. And I think that it's important to recognize that in a good communication situation, there is something in it for me as the communicator, that's the WIFM, and something in it for the audience, what's in it for them. So that said, the real key is to truly identify the comprehensive needs of the audience, to walk a mile in their shoes in your mind first, and then communicate accordingly. There's a great story we like to tell about baseball great Ted Williams. Of course, you could probably tell by my accent, Julia, I'm from the greater Boston area. But Ted Williams, as you might know, was a player in the Boston Red Sox, and he is considered to be, if not the best, arguably one of the best batters in baseball history. And the story goes that one day, way back then, in a train station, a young reporter saw Ted Williams, approached him somewhat in awe, and said, "Gee, Mr. Williams, you're the best batter in baseball, the best there ever was. You must be a great student of hitting." And Ted said, "No, son, I'm a great student of pitching." So along the very same lines, anyone who hopes to persuade has to understand what constitutes buy-in, what other people might consider important to them. So the whiff it, what's in it for them? And if we don't understand that, it's very difficult to truly persuade anyone to take action.
So when you've done the prep work and considered what's in it for them, what if you find you see benefits or advantages of your position that don't align with needs or wants that the audience has acknowledged or expressed? At that point, do you present these benefits / advantages, or can that sometimes be a mistake?
Well, in most cases, it is a mistake, and I suppose you've raised a very good point here. There are many times when people do not acknowledge their needs, or maybe they haven't recognized them as of yet. Henry Ford had a great quote about that. As you know, when he first started to manufacture automobiles, he said, "Gee, if I'd asked the people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses." You know, nobody knew that they could get an automobile. So in situations like that, the person who is in the persuading position needs to help the audience or the people or the person they're trying to persuade to come around to recognizing some of those needs. But if we can't bring about that recognition, then it becomes very, very difficult to successfully persuade. So once again, if we're too focused on with him instead of with it, we might miss it. And if we have a situation where the needs are not readily recognized by our audience, we maybe need to engage in a probing and listening exercise to maybe bring them around to the realizations that there might be some additional interests or needs that could suit their purpose best.
Excellent. Thank you. Finally, I was wondering, what do you think some of the most common mistakes people make in their efforts to persuade are? And do you have tips for avoiding these mistakes?
Yeah, I think that there are three or four things very specifically that we see. Persuasion can be fun, but preparing to persuade may not be quite as much fun. So failure to prepare is, I guess, as they say, preparing to fail. So we need to go through a diligent preparation process. I think, as we said a minute ago, focusing more on what's in it for me as opposed to what's in it for them is the second biggest pitfall. So we really do need to make a presentation that focuses on the needs of the audience and recognize that sometimes those needs are not the same as ours, but we need to defer to the audience needs, certainly in the early stages of the persuasion task. Similarly, if the presentation is misaligned, to not address those needs, that's a big, big error. And the number one, though, most common mistake or pitfall is failure to ask for a next step.
Really?
Many times people will go through the preparation, present their case, so to speak, and then just let it sit. We need to specifically ask for a next step that keeps the process moving forward. And usually, if a person has prepared well and has truly assessed needs and presented a persuasion task, if we want to call it that, in such a way that is aligned with those needs, it should become very, very easy to ask for a next step. Yet there are many, many times where I think people feel less than comfortable. And if there is a little nuance that they could add to their presentation that would help them, you know, I come from the sales world, the little nuance would be called trial closing. And these are very little questions that are not geared to get an answer or to get a decision. They're little tiny questions that are geared to get an opinion. In other words, testing the receptivity of your audience so that as we present our case, if we can ask occasional little questions such as, how does that sound so far? Does that address some of the concerns that you had? Do you think that would be helpful? If we get positive and enthusiastic responses to those little trial closing questions, it then should help us to be confident and straightforward when it's time to ask for the next step. And in many cases, the next step almost seems like a logical conclusion. But it is the omission of that question that I think causes many persuasion efforts to fail. And it's funny, we've asked many, many people over the past 10 years or so, what would your audience think if you failed to ask them for a next step? Or in the sales process, for example, what would your customer think or your prospect think if you failed to ask for the business? And in almost every instance, the answers we get tend to be, I guess they would think I don't want the business. I guess they would think that I'm not professional. Never do we get a positive answer. So it's always, always in the persuader's best interest to ask for that next step, provided they have executed the steps that we've talked about a little bit earlier.
Terrific. Well, Paul, thank you so much for your time today, and it's been really great speaking with you.
Well, as always, Julie, it's nice to speak with you, too, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you.
Copyright 2011 CFA Institute. No part may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic, mechanical, recording, or otherwise, without the express prior written permission of CFA Institute. This program is designed to give accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is distributed with the understanding that CFA Institute is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, tax, investment, or other expert advice. If legal advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.